RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can also listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz. Hello, my listener. Welcome back to English Bulletin over RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. In today's edition, we'll present to you our program summary for today. First, we'll bring you our news, followed by news from across the country, today in history, highlight of the week, weekend review, and news in brief. We'll continue to our next program with Indonesian Wonder and Miscellany. We'll conclude our program for today with listeners' mailbag. That was our program summary for today. Stand by now for the news.
Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news first day headlines. 6 foreign planes deployed to help extinguish forest fires. Ministry of Tourism to invite private sectors to boost Indonesian tourism. Now the news in detail. Chairman of the National Disaster Mitigation Agency, BNPB, Sutopo Purwonugroho, said that the operation of extinguishing fires in South Sumatra involved 6 foreign planes and 104 foreign personnel from Malaysia, Singapore, and Australia. He said on Saturday that those countries have sent around 2 planes and helicopters. Sutopo added that Malaysia had sent a Bombardier Pelican CL-415 airplane and a Dolphin helicopter, both of which will be operated to do water bombing from the air. In the meantime, Singapore sent 2 units of Chinook helicopters, but in the meantime, only 1 plane that can be used because the other one is experiencing engine disorder. Meanwhile, Australia sent 2 units of Hercules bomber, 32 planes, each with the capacity of 15,000 liters and a TC-690 Birdog 376 airplane that is function as spotting for water bombing. According to Sutopo, to operate those planes and helicopters, as many as 104 foreign personnel were deployed. Identification team of Hajj Committee work areas of Mecca identified other 2 bodies of Mina victims as Indonesian citizens. The 2 bodies identified were 2 last pilgrims who were reportedly not returned to the lodging until Thursday. Head of work area of Mecca, Arshad Hidayat, escorted by Republika Online on Saturday, said the 2 bodies were identified as Nugroho Muhammad Sofwan Hadi and G. Saadah Eno Martawijaya. They were members of Fleet JKS-61 Jakarta-Bekasi embarkation. Arshad stated, the identification of 2 bodies also made the number of victims from Indonesia in Mina increased. Mina incident had killed 129 Indonesian citizens, consisted of 124 Indonesian pilgrims and 5 citizens who lived in Saudi Arabia. Arshad also revealed there were 2 pilgrims who were still undergoing treatment in hospital. They were Aam Amalia Rustam from Fleet JKS-61 in Al Nur Hospital, Mecca, and Unaini Abdul Karim Usman from Fleet JKG-33 Jakarta Pondok Gede embarkation in King Khalid Hospital, Jeddah. Minister of Tourism Arif Yahya expressed his support for Future Millionaire Team Retreat Herbalife event. This event took place on 15th to 18th October in Bali. Minister Arif said the event would be attended by more than 2,000 members in Asia Pacific. It was in line with government objectives for tourism sector as a key driver of economic growth. Minister Arif Yahya Saturday said that in 2015, the government expected the number of tourist arrivals reach 10 million people. Until August 2015, the number of visits has reached 6.3 million people. The government also invited the private sector to participate in increasing tourism in Indonesia. thus it would give a positive impact on the economy in the area of tourist sites. Country General Manager of Herbalife Indonesia, Andam Dewi, said that there were many ways to be done by private sector in supporting the program Wonderful Indonesia or Pesona Indonesia, such as contributing in organizing international event in Indonesia. Andam revealed that cooperation between government and private sector in developing tourism sector was important. Tour de Singkarak, or TDS 2015, held from 3 to 11 October in West Sumatra, was successful. TDS, that was followed by participants from 36 countries, has big potential to bring in foreign tourists in the future. Tourism observers Herdi Syahrazad, escorted by Republika Online on Saturday, said the presence of many participants, officials, and the committee for TDS in West Sumatra has a direct impact on the globe and the local economy. He added, based on analysis of the data over the last 3 years, TDS was able to increase tourist visits to West Sumatra. Minister of Tourism Arif Yahya said data of the ministry stated that there was an increase in foreign tourist arrivals from more than 32,000 people in 2012 to more than 44,000 people in 2013, and it increased to become more than 58,000 in 2014. Arif asked all parties to optimize the long-term impact. He emphasized that all stakeholders, especially local governments, should hold additional creative activities. Increased audience of TDS was important to improve the ranking of TDS. The current position of TDS was ranked 5th in the world. The top ranking was still occupied by Tour de France. On Saturday, October 17th, Indonesia had just celebrated the World Food Day 2015, and to mark that occasion, the Food and Agriculture Organization FAO of the United Nations also celebrated their 70-year anniversary. To commemorate it, FAO Indonesia has published a set of 8 postage stamps and a first day cover produced in collaboration with the Ministry of Communication and the Indonesia Post Office. All stamps are associated with FAO projects. A first day cover was signed by the Vice President of Indonesia. FAO is commemorating 70 years of worldwide action toward the eradication of poverty, hunger, food insecurity, and malnutrition while supporting the sustainable management and utilization of natural resources. FAO has been working with governments and non-state actors to tackle the causes of hunger, to improve food and nutrition security, and support sustainable agricultural development around the world. The declaration in 1943 by the 40 founding nations states that mentions the goal of freedom from want of food suitable and adequate for health and strength to all peoples can be achieved is still a huge challenge for the world, especially to the developing countries. The last item, President's Cup final match would be held at Bung Karno Main Stadium Sunday. There were 2 teams in the match, namely Persib Bandung and Sriwijaya FC. Before the final match, CEO of Mahaka Sport and Entertainment, Hasana Abdul Ghani, said that preparations for the President Cup final match still be done. Coordination meeting with the police and the state secretariat had also been conducted. President Joko Widodo would also attend the President's Cup final. Related to the ticket, Mahaka Sport and Entertainment made a sale with some patrons that have been made. Tickets for Persib supporters of Bobotoh have been coordinated by Mahaka with Bobotoh. The same thing was applied to Sriwijaya FC supporters. To end the news, here are the headlines once again. 6 foreign planes deployed to help extinguish forest fires. Ministry of Tourism to invite private sectors to boost Indonesian tourism. That was the news.
Listener of RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, welcome back with me, Nuka, in our weekly segment News from Across the Country, which present you various interesting events from across the country during the week. Listener, the first news comes from Kudus, Central Java. The commemoration of Islamic New Year 1437 Hijriah in Kudus Regency, Central Java, was enlivened by Tebokan Parade by people in Kota District,
last Wednesday. Tobokan is a term from Japanese language which means tray made of plaited bamboo, which is usually used to put jenang or the sticky rice taffy. Tobokan parade was participated in by children, teenagers and elder people who brought jenang, market meals and commodities on tobokan tray. They went around Kaliputo village. The head of Kaliputo village, Pai Min, said in his speech that the tobokan parade shows gratitude and thanks to God for the success of Kaliputo villages in jenang business. Besides, according to him, the parade becomes product promotions of jenang as a special food from Kudus. Meanwhile, head of Kudus Culture and Tourism Service, Sunardi, appreciated the villagers who still hold the tobokan parade. In his view, it means that people still have solidarity to increase economy. Now we move to Lok Sumawe, Aceh Province, Sumatra. Mayor Suwaidi Yahya participated in the parade of Muharram first 1437 Hijriah, along with thousands of students from various schools in the city of Lok Sumawe, Aceh Province, last Wednesday. Most of the students walked and wore various kinds of Muslim uniforms from each group, with some wreaths that have been prepared by the committee. Suwaidi Yahya also joined the carnival by taking ornamental cars along with military officials and some other participants. Head of Education Service in Lok Sumawe, Rusli Ismail, said that there were around 2,000 students participating in the Islamic New Year parade of Muharram the First. They come from various schools, from elementary schools to senior high schools. Some heads of services also joined the convoy and ornamental cars. The third news comes from Ambon, Maluku. Maluku Governor Said Assegaf gave a present to 20 contestants of the 11th National Ecclesiastical Choir Feast, or Pesparawi. The present is a trip to Jerusalem in 2016 as an appreciation for them for becoming a general champion in the competition. Governor Said gave the present, which was witnessed by Vice Governor Zed Sahuburua, who is also the general chairman of the 11th National Ecclesiastical Choir Feast. When welcoming Pesparawi Maluku contingent led by the local Pesparawi Development Institution, Paulus Castagna, Maluku deserved the trophy by winning 3 out of 11 champion titles. It is the highest predicate in the competition. The 3 champion titles that Maluku receives are from Ecclesiastical Pop, solo category for 7 to 9 years old kids and male choir. Listener, that ends news from across the country from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. I'm Nuka Kusumawati. Thank you for listening.
Today in history, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
This is RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, with Today in History, a regular segment which brings back people and events from the state in the past as recorded in history. Let's begin with October 18, 1931. Thomas Edison dies. Thomas Alva Edison was an American inventor and is one of the greatest inventors in history, actually. During his career, Thomas Alva Edison had patented around 1,093 inventions, including electric light bulb and the gramophone, also a film camera. These inventions generate major industries for the electrical industry, recording and film that ultimately affect the lives of people around the world. He is also known as the inventor of applying the principle of mass production for invention. He died at the age of 84 on the anniversary of his discovery of the famous modern light bulb. Next is the events of October 18, 1967. Venera 4 research rocket belonging to the Soviet Union reached Venus. Venera 4 is a plane in the Soviet Venera program for the exploration of Venus. Venera 4 is the first successful aircraft to conduct environmental analysis on the soil of another planet. The aircraft is also the first aircraft to land on another planet. Venera 4 provides the chemical analysis of the atmosphere of Venus, shows the main content of carbon dioxide by a few percent nitrogen and water vapor oxygen under 1%. The identical plane Venera 4 was launched in June 1967. The first aircraft, Venera 4, launched on June the 12th from Stiazili Sputnik. Trajectory correction carried out on July the 29th when it is 12 million kilometers away from Earth. If nothing is done, the shuttle will pass through Venus. On October the 18th, 1967, the aircraft entered the atmosphere of Venus. And last is October the 18th, 1991. Azerbaijan declared independence from the Soviet Union. On March 1922, Azerbaijan, along with Armenia and Georgia, became part of the Transcaucasian Soviet Federated Socialist Republic in the newly formed Soviet Union. During World War II, Nazi Germany attacked the Soviet Union. The main aim of Operation Edelweiss Adolf Hitler's attack was to annex the oil-rich capital of Azerbaijan, Baku. Edelweiss operation failed. In 1990, Azeri people gathered to protest against the Soviet power and demanded independence. The demonstration was brutally suppressed by Soviet intervention in what is now called by the Azeri as the Black January. But in 1991, Azerbaijan declared their independence after the fall of the Soviet Union. Well, that was Today in History over Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. I'm Anna Trijayakasih.
Today in History, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
The Week Spotlight presents Top Issue of the Week.
Listener, this is Highlight of the Week from RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia with Minuka. This week, we highlight Forest Fire on the Economic Policy Package, Chapter 4. Listener, after launching Economic Policy 1, 2, and 3, to solve economic slowdown, the Indonesian government announced economic policy package for Chapter 4 on Thursday, October 15, 2015, which focuses on manpower sector and people's business credit or KUR distribution. The fourth package is related to wage system, people's business credit KUR and export credit. Coordinating Minister for Economic Affairs, Darmina Sutyansat, in the presidential's office in Jakarta last Thursday, that the government guarantees wage system of workers will not belong to cheap category and there will be annual increase. Darmin also guarantees that this policy will not make businessmen in trouble. It aims to create large job opportunities and improve welfare of the workers. Besides, this minimum wage formulation system also proves the existence of a country in giving social security network. It is because this formula assures that workers do not get cheap wage and businessmen get certainty in doing business. With this policy, workers' wage increases every year. The minister confirmed that the wage will increase in measure amount. The country comes in tripartite social dialogue development between workers and businessmen. The second policy is related to the distribution of people's business credit, which has been included in the previous economic policy package. In this package, credit receivers change and it will be given to individuals or employees which do productive business. People's business credit can be given to Indonesian worker candidates who work overseas. This credit can be also given to family members of workers who do productive business with settled income and also to Indonesian workers overseas. Meanwhile, Finance Minister Bambang Brojonegoro explained that the government through the Indonesian Export Funding Institution wants to support small and medium enterprises, which is oriented to export. The support is in line form of working capital credit with lower interest rate compared to commercial interest rate. However, member of Commission 9 of the Indonesian House of Representatives from the faction of the Diplomatic Party of Struggle, PDIP, Rike Dihapitaloka confirmed that she doesn't agree with the government regulation draft about wage that will be issued by President Joko Widodo. For Rike, the policy causes poverty and injustice for workers. According to Rike, in general, the government regulation draft about wage is realizing cheap wage that results in the declining purchasing power of workers and causing poverty. Wage policy should leave cheap wage regime and realize more fair and appropriate wage for workers and families. Listen to that ends highlight of the week from RRI's World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. I'm Nuka Kusumawati. Thank you for listening.
Listener, welcome to Week in Review. Now we take you to have a look on Sunday, October 11, 2015. On Sunday, Indonesian officials began the search for five people on board the EC-130 helicopter, which went missing in North Sumatra. The chartered helicopter, carrying two flight crew members and three passengers, was operated by Penerbangan Angkasa Semesta. The helicopter departed at 11:30 a.m. from the town of Siparhaman in the western part of Lake Toba and was headed to the Kuala Namu Airport in the suburb of North Sumatra capital, Medan. Medan Search and Rescue Agency said the last known contact with the helicopter with a registration code PKBKA was made at 12:20 p.m. Indonesian Transportation Ministry spokesman J.A. Brata said the helicopter was only carrying enough fuel to fly for 2 hours and 50 minutes, and so the helicopter has either crashed or was forced to make an emergency landing. The North Sumatra Police is also deploying its officers to search for the missing helicopter, concentrating its search and rescue effort on the border between Toba, Samosir, and North Tapanuli districts. Indonesia has been criticized for its poor aviation safety record. The incident comes just days after a twin otter turboprop plane operated by Aviastar crashed into the rough terrain of Mount Latimojong, Luwu District, South Sulawesi. On Monday, October 12, 2015, corruptors will be excluded from exemptions in a proposed tax amnesty bill after an agreement between the government and the House of Representatives. This was stated by Firman Subagio, deputy chairman of the House's legislative body on Monday. He said that there's no need to grant amnesty for corruptors. There are many good people whose taxes have not been collected yet. The bill also excludes terrorists, human traffickers, and drug offenders from exemption. The House of Representatives is currently discussing the bill aimed at repatriating ill-gotten funds from abroad to help boost the country's tax revenue. A target of 1,369 trillion rupiah has been proposed by the government in the 2016 state budget. Some observers have expressed concern that while the amnesty may attract criminal funds, it is likely to dishearten existing taxpayers who have been complying with obligations. On Tuesday, October 13, 2015, Jakarta Governor Basuki Cahayapurnama Ahok launched Jakarta, Indonesia's first digital library app, as part of the Jakarta Smart City program at Balai Agung Central Jakarta. He hopes the app, developed by the Jakarta Library and Archives Body, will boost interest in reading around the capital, especially for children. The app includes a feature to self-publish writing. He said, Jakarta Digital Library is a facility to increase the reading interest of Jakarta residents to allow them to access good quality books. While scores of publishers have signed on, some have admitted concerns that the digital library may reduce the numbers of printed books sold, but the governor has attempted to appease the fears. He also added that it is basically the same as borrowing books from the libraries. It is safer to upload books on iJakarta because the books collections in the libraries are often incomplete. The iJakarta app is available for Android, iOS, and Windows. On Wednesday, the joint Indonesian foreign team kept the focus on extinguishing land and forest fires in Ogan Komering Ilir district, South Sumatra province. The task force's deputy chief, Yulizar Dinoto, said in Palembang on Wednesday that the joint task force focused on tackling land and forest fires through the air. Ogan Ilir had become the biggest source of haze compared to other districts in Indonesia. According to him, any fire occurring in Pitlands region should be handled specifically and properly. To maximize the burnout in Pitlands, the joint team conducted a water bombing operation based on the directions of the Coordinating Minister for Political, Legal and Security Affairs, Luhut Panjaitan. Effort to put out the fires through water bombing were undertaken because the land was precariously located. He pointed out that the team will mobilize all personnel and equipment support, as well as assistance from several foreign countries such as Malaysia and Singapore. Listener, on the same day, on Wednesday morning, Indonesian Defense Minister Ria Mizar Ryakudu visited several Chinese defense industries as part of his visit to China that is aimed at forging defense cooperation between the two countries. Ria Mizar visited China North Industries Corporation that produces high-technology military and defense equipment and China National Aero Technology Import and Export Corporation, CATIC. Indonesia and China have forged defense cooperation since they established a bilateral consultation forum in the defense field in 2007 as part of the Strategic Partnership Declaration agreed upon on April 25, 2005. The two countries agreed to form a comprehensive partnership in October 2013. As part of cooperation in the defense industry, the Indonesian Defense Ministry and the State Administration of Science, Technology, and Industry for National Defense of the People's Republic of China signed a Memorandum of Understanding on March 22, 2011. Under the Memorandum of Understanding, they also agreed to transfer of technology for certain military equipment and compassing assembly, assembling, testing, maintenance, modification, upgrading, and training. On Thursday, October 15, 2015, Chief Economic Minister Darmin Nasution said that the Indonesian government is now preparing the fifth economic policy package, having issued the fourth one on last Thursday. As quoted by Antara News Agency, he also said that the fifth policy package would be about deregulation of permits at the regional level. The government actually still has a lot of stocks to be deregulated, but they will be discussed later. The government issued the first economic policy package that contained simplification of the wage system, expansion of the ambit of recipients of smallholder credit, and implementation of credit extension by Indonesia Export Financing Institution to prevent layoffs. On October 7, the government had issued the third economic policy package that covered issues such as reducing the price of fuel oils, electricity and gas, expanding the ambit of recipients of smallholder credit, and simplifying the process of land permit issuance for investment. On Friday, October 16th, the Indonesian government is expected to elevate the number of poverty every year in the country. It was said by a social observer of Indonesian Institute of Sciences, LIPI, Irin Gayatri, to RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. She said the government must make a special policy to give standard living for the people through integrated data. Moreover, Irin Gayatri asked the government to revise the standard living component for low-income people so that they are expected to get higher standard income and can increase their purchasing power through affordable price of basic needs. Listener, that was the Weekend Review.
Voice of Indonesia can be heard daily through audio streaming at www.voi.co.id.
Listener, welcome to News in Brief. Chairman of the Indonesian Disaster Mitigation Agency, BNPB, Sutopo Purwonugroho, said that the operation of extinguishing fires in South Sumatra involved 6 foreign planes and 104 foreign personnel from Malaysia, Singapore, and Australia. Identification team of Hajj Committee Work Areas of Mecca identified other two bodies of MINA victims as Indonesian citizens. The two bodies identified were two lost pilgrims who were reportedly not returned to their lodging until Thursday. Minister of Tourism Arif Yahya expressed his support for future millionaire team retreat Herbalife event. This event took place on 15th to 18th of October in Bali. Mr. Arif said the event would be attended by more than 2,000 members in Asia-Pacific. Tour de Singkarak, or TDS 2015, held from the 3rd to 11th October in West Sumatra, was successful. TDS that was followed by participants from 36 countries has big potential to bring in foreign tourists in the future. On Saturday, October 17th, Indonesia had just celebrated the World Food Day 2015, and to mark that occasion, the Food and Agriculture Organization of the United Nations also celebrated their 70-year anniversary. To commemorate it, FAO Indonesia has published a set of 8 postage stamps and a first aid cover produced in collaboration with the Ministry of Communication and the Indonesia Post Office. President's Cup final match would be held at Bung Karno Main Stadium Sunday, and there were two teams in the match, namely Persib Bandung and Sriwijaya FC. That was news in brief.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
You're still tuned to the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, to the frequencies of 95.25 kHz, 11.785 kHz, and 15.150 kHz. You can also listen through our audio streaming at www.voi.co.id. Here is our next program, Indonesian Wonder and Miscellany.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
This is RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with Indonesian Wonder, a special program introducing Indonesian tourism, including places of interest, art and culture, and Indonesian cuisine. This time, I will invite you to enjoy Bantal Cake, a special culinary of Lombok Island. Besides via shortwave, you can also listen to this program via live streaming at www.voi.co.id. In East Lombok, West Nusa Tenggara, the majority of people are fond of eating bantal cake. Bantal in the Indonesian language means pillow. But bantal here is not a sleeping pad for bedding, but a traditional cake made of glutinous rice. Bantal cake is also called tikel gapuk in the local language, used by the Sasak, the ethnic groups that inhabit the islands of Lombok who use Sasak language. In the holy month of Ramadan, some people in Lombok usually make bantal cake as appetizers during fast breaking. Along with the times, this bantal cake is not easy anymore to find in Lombok. But if you are in East Lombok, precisely in Gapuk Village, Suralaga sub-district, which is approximately 50 kilometers from the city of Mataram, the capital of Lombok, you will easily find sellers of bantal cake. This is because the very strategic location of the village and is on the main street. Therefore, both local and foreign tourists can easily find sellers of this bantal cake. Bantal cake is made from glutinous rice with some stuffing in the center and wrapped in palm leaves. The process of making this bantal cake is fairly easy. First, some glutinous rice is cleaned, then mixed with grated coconut and salt to taste. After that, you prepare a mold of cube shape made of palm leaves. Then put half of the sticky rice into a mold and put a slice of banana or some tolo peanut for stuffing. Then fill the mold with more glutinous rice evenly. After that, put this bantal cake in a pan of hot water for cooking. Bantal cake has two different flavors, namely sweet banana and tolo peanuts, which is tasty. Although this cake is called bantal or pillow, it is not as big as a real pillow, but only the size of two index fingers. To boil this bantal cake takes approximately 3 hours, so the sticky rice becomes soft and nice. Well, that was Indonesian Wonder featuring Bantal, a special culinary from East Lombok. I'm Anna Trijaya Kasih, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
Miscellany on Indonesia, a segment featuring various actual information.
This is Aral Uwe Surfer's Voice of Indonesia with Miscellany, a regular segment featuring various aspects of Indonesia, including art and culture, customs and tradition, technology and environment, even lifestyle. Today's edition will be discussing BMKG sent researchers to Antarctica. So stay tuned in RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. Besides via shortwave, you can also listen to this program through www.voi.co.id. Indonesia is the biggest maritime country in the world. To understand the influence of the ocean on climate and weather in Indonesia, the Meteorology, Climatology and Geophysics Agency, or BMKG in Indonesian, Indonesia sent two researchers, namely Wido Hanggoro and Kadarsah, in an expedition to Antarctic or the South Pole. Head of the agency, Andi Eka Sakya, said the researchers have been tasked with finding to understand the extent of the sea affects the climate and weather in Indonesia. Moreover, Indonesia's climate is always influenced by the Pacific and Indian Oceans. Both researchers departed on Wednesday, October the 14th, by a research cruise ship towards Davis Meteorological Station at the South Pole. They will join the Bureau of Meteorology Expedition Team, Australian Antarctic Division. This research is focused, among others, on the impact of global warming due to the melting of polar ice. In addition, the head of the agency also sent 4 people to climb Puncak Jayawijaya Mountain in Papua, namely Lukita Diasari, Ferdika Harapak, Najib Habibi, and Kristianto. The expedition to Puncak Jayawijaya also discussed the same issue of global warming. This research is a collaboration of the agency with Ohio University, Columbia University, and Freeport, conducted for the third time since 2010. The The series of research expeditions and research program serve as a stepping stone for Indonesia's contribution to the global understanding of climate dynamics. Indonesia's strategic geographic position becomes the key to understanding climate dynamics and changes. These policy measures are also part of the BMKG Indonesia alignments in the field of research in support of efforts to improve the services of meteorology, climatology, and geophysics, as well as to improve Indonesia's human resources. And he hoped that the result of the exhibition will be a very valuable contribution globally and is expected to provide insight into the relationship of climate teleconnection between the tropics with Antarctic. Well, that was Miscellany Today. Until next edition with other interesting topic.
We'll meet again tomorrow with another Miscellany on Indonesia.
Hello, listener, wherever you are, welcome back to Listener's Mailbag, a weekly segment in which your letters and emails are acknowledged. In this segment, we'll also play some Indonesian music. Well, listener, we would like to thank you, our dear listeners, wherever you are, who have sent your letters or emails containing reception reports on our broadcast. And now let's start answering your letters or emails. First, I would like to read an email sent by Anatoly Klepov in Russia. He was listening to our broadcast through frequency of 9525 kHz at 1900 hours to 2000 hours UTC in English program, and the SINPO was 43443. Hello, Anatoly Klefov, thank you very much for your reception report on our broadcast, which is very detailed. We are really glad because you can monitor our radio clearly, even though there was interference from another radio. But you don't have to worry because we will deliver your complaint to our technical division. And your reception report is really valuable so that we know how our broadcast can reach your country. And as your request, we'll send the QSL card to your home as soon as possible. So keep listening and sending your reception report to our radio. Thank you very much. And special for you and also our regular listeners, we will play a beautiful song. Enjoy the song.
Bakal lebih cintamu bukan untukku.
Listener now will reply an email from Ratan Kumar Paul in India. He was listening to our radio through frequency of 9525 kHz at 1300 hours to 1329 hours UTC on August 17, 2015, and the symbol was 44444. It was really a good signal. Hello, Mr. Ratan Kumar Paul. Thank you very much for your email dated August 18, 2015. And at your request, we'll deliver your message to our management, and hopefully you will always listen to our broadcast and you will not get bored to send your reception report. Thank you very much. So please wait for our QSL card as our appreciation. Thank you very much. And now we'll play another beautiful song for our regular listeners wherever you are, and enjoy the song.
Dariku kau terima seluruh cinta seutuhnya. Darinya engkau dapatkan sedikit perhatian, namun yang kau pilih malah sebaliknya. Kau dapatkan segala kasih penuh pengorbanan. Darinya engkau dapatkan cinta sementara, namun kenyataan kini kau dengannya. Tak perlu kau pulangkan lagi di luka. Berharap pun takkan bisa merubah kenyataan kau memilih dia. Dariku kau dapatkan segala kasih penuh pengorbanan. Dapatkan cinta sementara, namun kenyataan ini kau dengannya. Tak perlu kau pulangkan lagi semua yang telah aku berikan. Biarlah menjadi luka. Berharap
Listener, now we'll continue to reply an email from Riaz Ahmad Khan in Pakistan. Hello, Mr. Riaz Ahmad Khan, how are you? We hope that you are still tuning to our radio now. And thank you for your email, which contains your reception report. And as usual, you always send reception report of our broadcast in detail. We really appreciate your attention on our radio. Thank you for your comments. Because of that, we always try to improve the quality of our broadcast. Well, Mr. Riaz Ahmad Khan, we are looking forward to your next email. And special for you and also other regular listener, we will play a beautiful song. Let's check it out. Listener, unfortunately, we have to sign off. We appreciate very much your reception reports on our broadcast. Please send your letters to Voice of Indonesia, English Service, PO Box 1157, Jakarta 10110, Indonesia. I'll repeat again, Voice of Indonesia, English Service, PO Box 1157, Jakarta 10110, Indonesia. Or you can also send your email to info@voi.co.id. info@voi.co.id or to english@voi.co.id, english@voi.co.id. Don't forget to visit and like our fan pages on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia, and also The Voice of Indonesia. Or follow our Twitter at Voi Indonesia, at Voi Indonesia. You can also join our Instagram, voice_of_Indonesia. Well, listener, to conclude listener's mailbag for this week, we will play another beautiful song. I'm Ania Sana. Thank you for listening, and we'll meet again next week in listener's mailbag. Bye-bye.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can also listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz and 11785 kHz. Send your criticism and suggestions to en.voi.co.id or send your letter to Voice of Indonesia, RRI World Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta, or P.O. Box 1157, Jakarta 10011, Indonesia. And join us on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter, Voi Indonesia.